anytime at QFlowers.com.
This half hour of the iWorkframe radio broadcast is brought to you by Nepsis. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online at nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord.
What if God has more for you at your 9-to-5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work for Him. Join the I Work for Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation in cities around the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work for Him. As Martha and I are on location in Chicago, Illinois, we're so grateful to be here. And it is a beautiful day in Chicago, as every day in Chicago is beautiful, right? All you Windy City folks. You know, we just want to invite you to check us out online, iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. We'd love for you, when you go out there, to consider joining the I Work for Him Nation. Consider being a change agent in your workplace by committing to pray for those you work alongside by name each and every day. Looking for ways to serve the people that you work with above and beyond what your job requires you to do. Look for ways to befriend people outside of your workplace, because relationships give you an opportunity to really share your faith. But all along, being a person of excellence in your job, because Christ followers should be the absolute number one best employees in their position, no matter what you do. That's iworkforhim.com. Click on the I Work for Him Nation flag. Hey, we were at a conference here in Chicago, and we wanted to just grab some random people, and we grabbed a random old friend of the show. We've got Chip Roper here. He's from the Voca Center in New York City. He was on the show a couple of years ago sharing what's going on there in New York City. We thought we'd get an update. Dr. Chip Roper, welcome back to I Work for Him.
It's great to be here, Jim. Martha.
Huh? All right. So
in the flesh.
In the flesh. That's right. Just fantastic. In the flesh is always so much better. It's great to meet people you've never really met, but we've met, and we love them.
And you're quite the optimist to say that the weather is beautiful here in Chicago.
It is. Oh.
It's cold and windy.
All you got to do is live in Florida for five months straight. I get tired of hot
and sweaty.
I kind
of expected the cold and windy, so it did not disappoint in that respect.
I did not bring a warm enough jacket, but it's okay.
I didn't either. Yeah. I got surprised.
Well, we're inside all day anyway.
So. All right. That's true.
Chip Roper, tell us about the Voca Center. What's the mission of the Voca Center?
So the Voca Center, we want to turn people's secular jobs into sacred callings. You know, we want them to reframe the way they approach their work so that it's infused with God's purpose and God's power. And so that's kind of our big idea. And we sum it up, we just say we want to make work better, but we really want to make work better with the spiritual resources that God gives us.
All right, and people can check out the Voca Center online, vocacenter.org, but also vocacenter.com. Talk about the difference.
Yeah, so vocacenter.org is our faith-based website, and it's because we come at this from a perspective of faith and motivated by Christ and what He's done for us. And vocacenter.com is our kind of general market-facing portal to the world, because we do provide services that companies can benefit from in terms of talent management, developing leaders, developing managers, analyzing job fit. And one of the things that we really hope to be able to do as we move forward and progress is we want Christians to know that they can hire us to do excellent work for their companies, and that the way we do our work and our presence there will actually, open doors for a kingdom impact just through the services we provide in the general marketplace.
So you've got a plain glass and a stained glass.
That's good.
I can't claim it as an original. Somebody else taught me that same thing.
No, but you could use it, I suppose, right?
It's not copyrighted, trademarked, or
not that we're
otherwise
aware of.
Licensed.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So how then are people utilizing the resources that you have and really making it practical?
So we one of our sort of flagship programs is called the Calling Discernment Program, and we help people walk through a process of discovering first how they're wired, how God's put them together, and then really strategically, how do they take that package of who they are and put it into play in the job market. And so for some people, this is they're young, they're trying to figure out kind of what career direction they want to go. Some of them are in the middle of their lives and they find themselves out of work, or they find themselves like they've been doing something for 15 years and they're really not sure they want to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And some people are more at a later stage, looking at, I wouldn't call it retirement, but they're like, they're going to stop doing the job that's been consuming all of their time.
Sure.
And they're thinking about what's next after that. They
sure.
want to be busy. They want to be productive.
What's on the other side of halftime?
Yeah, it's a halftime kind of experience. And so we've got folks in all those kind of, from all those sort of places coming, and, you know, we walk them through this process. It's 3 assessments. It's 7 hours of coaching. And by the end, they know themselves much better, and they have a plan that they've already started to execute to get onto their future that God has for them in their work.
So how long has the Voca Center been around?
In one form or another, about 4.5 years.
Okay. So are you having fun still?
I am having fun, yes.
Talk to us about impact. The people that you interact with, Christ followers who are just trying to find purpose in their work, they're trying to understand that their work really matters to God. Talk to us, when you get to speak truth into Christ followers' lives who are out there in the marketplace, in their workplace, what's that look like? What's that impact sound like?
Well, first of all, you know, the work space is hard.
Mm.
That's it's hard, and it's a battle, and it's a struggle. And even just acknowledging that for people, since they can exhale, right? That they're not crazy, they're not an anomaly off on the side. That mm-hmm. everybody else is just doing great, and they got you know, stuck with some really tough road. Now, for most people, work is stressful, it's demanding, it's overwhelming, and it consumes more and more of their time, and it feeds and fuels much of their anxiety. So this it's a heavy topic, and you know, starting there and acknowledging that, what we typically will see in the course of our interactions with a client is that their shoulders relax, they breathe more easily. Over time, they become a lot more confident in who they are and what they can do. And so I it's almost like the rebirth of hope happens in them on a fairly regular basis. Some of ahas as well is like, oh, well, that's why. That's why I didn't like that, mm-hmm. you know, or that's why I was doing this job that was just sucking the life out of me. Well, now we know why. Now I know why that was sucking the life out of me. So next time, as I have options, I can choose more wisely and pursue things that are better fit with how God's made me. So, I mean, if to sum it up in a phrase, that was really long. I'm sorry. But I mean, it's just the bottom line is it's the rebirth of hope and for their vocational life. And that's what we see over and over again.
The rebirth of hope for their vocational life. Another tweetable tweet by Dr. Chip Roper. All right. There's a lot of listeners, of course, that are not in New York City. They're not at 54th and 40th.
Yep.
Can people interact with you online?
Absolutely. One of the things that's happened since we last talked is we've started, we can do our coaching program, over the internet, you know, over Zoom call, video call.
Yes.
And another free plug right here in I Work For Him.
Yeah. And so we've got clients in Dallas, Seattle, Nashville, Albuquerque. Yeah.
So Albuquerque.
So working on those time zones. We're starting to get a little rough on that sometimes, but.
Excellent. So, Jim, just so that our listeners realize who we're talking with today, we're with Dr. Chip Roper, and he is with the Voca Center. And really, you're helping. I mean, there's so many things, but you're helping people just understand how maybe God wired them.
Absolutely.
So that they can do something more effectively. Does it always mean a job change for somebody?
Not at all. Sometimes it means that they can go back to their job the next day with a clear sense of how that job aligns with how they're wired, what they're passionate about, kind of what their values mm-hmm. are, and so they can have fresh energy for it. So that happens. I haven't studied this. Perhaps I should, but a significant percentage of our clients do not change jobs. They change the way they're approaching their job.
It's a paradigm shift for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you know, you think about in sports when the coach takes a timeout. It's not to say, oh, we're going to quit playing basketball now and go play something
else. Right.
We're going to shore up the game and do things better. And I'm not even an athlete and I'm having this conversation because I know why they do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we all sometimes just need to refocus and to learn more about ourselves. It's very empowering for people, isn't it? When
very
they learn
so.
Something new about themselves.
Yeah, it's very hard for us to know, most of us to know, what we're really good at.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing a lot of interactions with the church there at the Voca Center? Voca Center online, vocacenter.com, vocacenter.org. Are you interacting with churches?
We do. We have, it's one of the markets that we serve. One of our group of our customers are pastors, and we convene pastors several times, almost monthly, in partnership with Made to Flourish out of Kansas City.
Madetoflourish.org. Love that organization.
And, you know, we want pastors to know that they can play a tremendous role in affirming the vocational callings that their people have out in the marketplace. And I served as a pastor for quite a long time, and I used to think church was the game. And now I sort of think church is more like it's more like the dugout or the locker room.
That's
that
right.
Prepares people for the game.
And it's equipping. It's all about equipping.
It's all about equipping. And when you start to see it that way, then you realize as a pastor that your influence is spreading all over your city, all over your metro, and it's really exciting.
Exciting.
Dr. Chip Roper with the Voca Center in New York City. Thanks for being on I Work For Him today. Yeah,
great to see you, Jim.
Check him out online, vocacenter.org, vocacenter.org. Hey, wait, don't turn to another station. I've got a challenge for you. This is Jim Brangenberg, and I want to talk to you about the I Work For Him Nation. I know you already want to be part of something big in your workplace, so why don't you join the I Work For Him Nation today? Watch your very workplace transform before your eyes as you are transformed too. When we recognize that our workplace is our place of mission, it's a paradigm shift of our minds. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Put your faith on notice at work. Join the I Work For Him Nation now.
Here's Rick Box, founder of Unconventional Business Network, with today's Integrity Moment.
This week, we're discussing Carmen Gallo's three recommendations for developing a pitch for your organization, as discussed in the Harvard Business Review. Gallo's second tip is identifying one idea you want your audience to remember. Gallo recommends that you focus on a need of your customer and focus your one idea around that need. For instance, when Apple launched their first iPod, they promoted the concept of 1,000 songs in your pocket. In Luke 9:24, Jesus taught, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Jesus knew the Jews needed to be saved from eternal damnation. His paradoxical statement was memorable. For a successful pitch, identify your customer's need and clearly communicate how you are meeting that need.
To learn more about Unconventional Business Network and doing business God's way, visit unconventionalbusiness.org. That's unconventionalbusiness.org.
As an apartment management professional, wouldn't you like to increase revenue without raising rent? Installing individual unit water meters allows for direct billing of residents and creates a revenue recapture strategy that adds to your bottom line without increasing rent. It also lowers consumption 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been in business since 1957 and has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit Think Utility Services.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we broadcast to you from Chicago, Illinois. Our next guest up is Gaia Gort. She's written this incredible book, BAM, Global Movement, Business as Mission, Concepts and Stories. We had several people that said, hey, Jim, you got to meet Gaia Gort. She's written this incredible book. And so she actually introduced herself to us. Gaia, welcome to I Work For Him.
Thank you, James. It's good to be here.
It is very good to be here. As Martha and I are so excited to just have you on the show. Tell us about your story. You're from the Netherlands.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So do you still live there today?
Yeah, in Rotterdam. But I've been all over the world because my background is with mercy ships, the hospital ships. So I was in the early days of the ships, like 30, 40 years ago,
wow,
a lot in and out of the States. So I consider it as my second homeland.
That's wonderful.
So tell us about your book. What is BAM Global Movement all about?
Well, I gathered 30 stories from around the world. I have a background in journalism as well as in urban mission. And so I got really excited about this whole business and mission integration. And the 30 stories from countries like the Philippines, but also here from the U.S. in a Western context. How is church, how is business, how are mission organization engaged in BAM? They're on a journey to learn to integrate this. So I met so wonderful people.
So let's back up, because we have listeners who may not know what BAM is, or even business as mission. What does that mean?
It means that business can be such a tool in God's hand. Mm-hmm. It can be a tool to spread his scent, justice. Its mission is so much more than about money. Mm. It's about people. You know, business people, they know. Business is about relationships. So this channel, it's about thinking through the product. What kind of product are we making so, you know, that we bring justice to the community? Mm. And so it's very, very diverse, you know, because it depends on the context. It depends about the product, the personality of the business, of the business owner. Mm-hmm. So it's very diverse, but, you know, there's so much creativity. And I think when we seek God, God, when this business would be your business, what are you seeing? I think it's opening our hearts and our minds to think beyond our, you know, kind of common understanding. Okay, we need to work and go Sunday to church.
Sure.
Yeah.
But do it with purpose.
And you know, engage with God. And there's so much more possible.
All right, we're talking with Gaia Gort today. Gaia is spelled G-E-A-G-O-R-T. You can check her out online at exactly those words, GaiaGort.com, GaiaGort.com. We wanted you to get a copy of this book, BAM, Global Movement, and I'm sure you can get one out there. Can they get a book on your website?
Yeah, but then it will be mailed from the Netherlands. You better go on Amazon or christianbook.com. They have good prices.
Okay, they can get it there.
So it's available in bookstores, yeah.
So tell us some of these stories. You've got 30 stories in here in your book. Tell us, what's your favorite story? Or maybe what's the one that's at the top of your head?
Well, in the Philippines, like I said, it's not only business, also mission is engaged. In the Philippines, in the slums, there's this lady who has a large network in the slums where she helped, together with churches, to have children's, you know, schooling for kids 4 to 5, 6 age. And she developed kidpreneurship, teaching these kids a curriculum for them. And teaching these kids, hey, you can make toys, you can save, you can, and doing that with biblical principles. Mm. And I think that's one of these creative ways. In Mozambique, and someone from Los Angeles left his air balloons, his cars, moved with his family to Mozambique. You know, he has a vision to really develop the economy and started nut factories, together with local orphanages. And, you know, he said to me, Gaia, I love speed. I love adventure. Well, here in Mozambique, I get a lot of it. You know, and I think that's what God wants. He wants to use us as we are. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't move to Mozambique. Probably many of you listeners wouldn't move to Mozambique. But, you know, what is on your heart and what is your gifting? And, you know, God wants to use us as a whole being and to bring the whole gospel.
So I have a question regarding, like, as you were uncovering all these different stories and what God had done in these different people's lives that led them, was there a common thread? Was there anything that you saw in common between these people of how they either made a decision to do business as mission, or that they had that change of heart?
I think one of the threads is that God uses crisis in our lives.
Okay.
You know, it can be a crisis from outside. It's like we are, you know, something stirs within us, and we seek, hey, God. We seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I call a couch time. You know, we are in the desert.
Sure.
You know, and it's like life as we have known it seems to make no sense. We seek God. So I think that I encountered quite a lot.
Okay.
But then also seeing that globally God is at work. You know, to it's like part of a, and I write about that in the book. I wrote it together with Mats Toonhaak, who's worldwide, bringing people together about them, especially in developed nations.
Okay.
But, you know, there is a shift going on that we see mission much more holistically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that God is not... God is a God who wants to transform us and individuals, but he also desires to transform neighborhoods, to transform our spheres of influence. So I see that there is a threat. People are starting to realize that, and not always do they give words to it. It's, you know, you see it in movements like theology of work, where mm-hmm. people connect faith and work, seeking how to connect Sunday and Monday. I see a younger generation who, you know, will think much more in an integrated way.
Yes, we can hope that that will be the way of the future. We won't even be having to have these conversations, right, Jim? So we're talking with Gaia Gort, and she is here as our guest as she just finished writing this book, BAM, Global Movement. And BAM is B-A-M, Business as Mission. And this says, the subtitle is Businesses, Mission, Concepts, and Stories. And she has written out for us 30 stories. And I love the fact that it's global, because we so often think that, you know, this is something that God's only moving in my city. And, you know, or God's not, you know, maybe we're not seeing any evidence in our city. But there's being encouraged by what God's doing around the world. And we all have that. The common thread here also mm-hmm. is business.
Yep.
The fact that God is working within the business realm.
Okay, so you highlighted a couple of great two or three international stories. Give us some of those business as mission stories from here in the States.
Fresno, I love, you know, what they're doing. There's this one church planter.
A church planter in Fresno, California. Okay.
He embraced his neighborhood. It's called Neighborhood Church. And he started first a church, he started a business, and the business and a foundation, and he just, you know, together with his board, they decide, hey, all the things we do, we want to benefit the neighborhood.
Okay.
So, for example,
nice.
They hire youth who are unemployed, and they teach them about repairs in the house. On the houses around them.
Okay.
And so they get connected with the neighborhood who have, you know, their window doesn't open properly. So there is a natural connection and blessing the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they start relationship with these kids and start discipling them on the job. So this church is, they meet Sundays, you know, and there's, they attract entrepreneurs who also move to the neighborhood. So I think that's one of these creative ways.
Wow.
Also in Fresno, his father actually started a network of social entrepreneurship. And I think that's bringing those together and how we can inspire each other to and help with the funding to do those social entrepreneurs, enterprises.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Okay, you get a lot of people listening today going, okay, but how does this book apply to me? And in 15 seconds or less, tell them why. Can they learn from this book, BAM, Global Movement, about how they can maybe start a business with a mission mindset right here in the United States? Can they learn from your book?
Oh, yeah, sure. And it's great bedside reading. You know, you can read these small stories and catch ideas. You know, it triggers our imagination when we see the stories of others, how they do it, and think through, gives us ideas how we can in our own local place.
Well, Gaia Gort, thanks for being on I Work For Him today. You're our first guest from the Netherlands. We're so grateful. Thank you, Gaia Gort.
It's been an honor.
You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back.
Jim and I invite you to join us as an I Work For Him partner. We can change our country through our workplaces, and you can help. Christ followers outside of Tampa Bay and the First Coast desperately need to know that their work matters to God. Help us take the message of I Work For Him nationwide. Be one of 367 partners to commit to $100 a month for 3 years. Only 2% of Christ followers in America know and understand their work is a gift from God. Be a gift to the other 98%. Go to iworkforhim.com and click on the Donate Now button and set up your recurring gift and be one of 367.
Is it time for a new roof? Get your roofing job done right. Call Sears Roofing right now for a free in-home estimate. That's Sears Roofing. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. Call Sears Roofing right now. 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
I Work For Him is brought to you in part by Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services, a company that allows you to own your own business while honoring and glorifying God. Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services is a faith-based company providing franchise opportunities in Jacksonville and teaches you everything you need to know about commercial cleaning and how to build your own franchise. You can find more information about being your own boss in this faith-based business at OfficePrideFranchise.com.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The White House says President Trump has signed a bill that will require some 800,000 federal employees to be compensated for wages lost or work performed during the partial government shutdown. Wednesday's bill signing was closed to the media. The House and Senate had voted to give the workers back pay whenever the federal government reopens. The shutdown is in its fourth week with no end in sight. British Prime Minister Theresa May's government has survived a no-confidence vote called after May's Brexit deal was overwhelmingly rejected by lawmakers. The House of Commons expressed confidence in the government by 325 votes to 306, meaning May can remain in office. Had the government lost, Britain would have faced an election within weeks while preparing to leave the European Union on March 29th. Good day on Wall Street as the Dow was up by 141 points, the NASDAQ rose 11. More details at srnnews.com.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us in 2019 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we'd like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us a chance to help. Here on Florida's First Coast, there are a lot of people trying to sell you jewelry, but at Underwoods, we have a different view. Because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us the chance to help. Because if we do a good job, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods. Their trust. And it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thanks again for coming into our stores. And we wish each of you a Happy New Year.
This half hour of the I Work For Him show is brought to you by Office Pride Commercial Office Cleaning Franchise. Own a different kind of commercial cleaning franchise. OfficePrideFranchise.com. That's OfficePrideFranchise.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we broadcast from the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois. We have just finished a great conversation with Gaia Gort, and we move on now to Joe Carroll, a friend of the show from San Antonio, Texas. You got to hear from Joe Carroll earlier this year, and just excited to have him back. Just to get a little update, what's going on in San Antonio, what's going on with BLE, Biblical Leadership for Excellence. You can check it out online, BLEonline.org, BLEonline.org. Joe Carroll, welcome back to I Work For Him.
Oh, it's just great to be with you guys again.
Talk to us about San Antonio, Texas. If you were to take a temperature on people living out their faith and their work in San Antonio, Texas, what would that temperature be?
I think it's medium. I think there's some intrigue right now. People, I'm sensing more than ever, are very, very stressed out in work. Mm. In the 3 decades I've been working, I'm sensing people are at a maximum stress level. Mm-hmm. They're tired, they're worn out, and it's taking a lot of work just for them to engage. And so we're trying to find new ways to make it easier for people with busy schedules to say, I've got to carve out room for this.
When you look at just the common struggles, the kind of conversations that you're having with people that are repetitive, what's one common thing you hear from those, the people, Christ followers out there in the marketplace, Christ followers out there in their workplace? They're like, this is what I need help with.
Well, I think once they get into a group, then I can feel the breath of fresh air coming in and saying, I need this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes until they taste it, they don't sense this is something I really need. They don't make room for their own soul in what they're doing every day. They just add to the busyness.
What do you mean they taste it? When they taste it, taste what?
I think when they see that they don't have to live the way the world is squeezing them into that mold. And for some people, you know, it's easier said than done, because many people don't have the luxury of creating space in their work because they're piled on so much.
Right.
And I've seen this with some people. They just, you know, it's like, this is too much work, too much work. And so I think if there's a shift in the neurological pathways in their brain of how they can prepare for that, of coming into intense work pressures, especially if they don't own the company, mm-hmm. and especially if they can't make the decisions where they can create their own space, how do they approach those kind of work environments? And so one of the things we try to do is one of the things we've introduced a new study.
Really? Tell us about the new study.
That is focused on five core beliefs that we feel like are there. That's not exhaustive, but these are five core beliefs that we feel like people need to camp out on a little bit in their work. And the very first one is contentment. And we think this is a very universal issue that people face today is where do I get a source of satisfaction in what I'm doing? Because most people are not, they don't feel satisfied in what they do.
Right.
And one of the interesting things we're trying to do in this is in each of these five lessons, we're trying to brand that with an image, because that'll stick in their mind in terms of during the day of bringing top of the mind awareness of what they're doing in their work. So example, in contentment, we use the verse, we have a memory verse that they start off with. It's Psalm 16:5 that says, Lord, you are my portion and my cup. And so we brand it with the idea of a coffee cup, because most people start off their day at work with a coffee cup. Many of them will sit with a coffee cup on their desk during the day. And so a lot of people are going to work and that coffee cup gets stale. Or it tastes bitter. And so we give them this image of a coffee cup to say, Lord, you are my portion of my cup. And say, hey, you can have some say-so what's inside the cup. Because you can go to the Lord as your source. And yeah, if we don't have him as our source, yeah, we're not going to have contentment. And so we try to brand these images just to help people have a place to go back to and say, hey, Lord, you are my portion of my cup. It's not my work. It's not my title. It's not the money that we have.
So you were saying this is a new study that you guys just came out with.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Who is using this study, and what is it that you desire? Like, who's going to get their hands on it? Tell us about that.
Well, it's a prototype right now.
Okay.
And so we hope after we go through, we've got, I think, six groups doing it currently. And so we researched on it and put it together. And so what I'm doing now is we're garnering feedback as we go through it. So like I've got two groups going right now that I'm leading, and we're trying to empower people to take it in the workplace. We have a lady in an insurance company who's got eight people going to meet at lunch, you know, every week and go through the study. And so as we get feedback, we're going to fine tune it. We know the content's good because we're going to the Bible for it.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is bring relevancy and authenticity into the study in connection with people in real work situations where they're talking about real life issues. And so by the end of this year, we should have it ready for people. If they want to contact us, they can contact us, and we'll make sure they get copies of the study.
And we're talking with Joe Carroll today. He's with a group called BLE. You can check him out online, BLEonline.org, Biblical Leadership for Excellence, BLEonline.org. Joe Carroll, I want to know practical, tactical stuff. I want to know feet on the ground, boots on the ground in San Antonio, Texas. Why are you doing this?
Because the gospel is so much of a, what I call it, a gap, is that there's such a disconnect. When people walk into the workplace, and we heard it here at this conference this weekend, where people are going to say, oh, no, it's Monday. or thank God it's Friday, that people just say, okay, I have to do this. I have a job to do, instead of sensing, oh, I get to go on an adventure with God during the week. And yeah, it's going to be hard, and I don't know what's going to happen with me, but there's a deeper purpose. There's a larger story to live out in my work that's exciting, that has eternal purpose, and that can make a difference in my life and other people's lives.
So so tell us, just like, I mean, you said there's multiple groups that are that are doing your Bible studies and stuff. What does that look like in San Antonio?
Well, one of the we're trying to look for specific partnerships, and one of our big ones is with Hallmark University. They're a private university there, and they have adopted using our what we call our classic curriculum that we developed many years ago. And they use it as part of their character curriculum with their students. And so the students don't have to take it because it's faith-based. But if they want to, then it's a way they get additional recognition when they graduate of completing a character curriculum. And when they go to companies, they can go to companies and say, our students have used this curriculum, which will make them a better employee for you. And so we're looking for more strategic partnerships like that of co-branding with people where they can use them. We're starting to explore with a high school right now. Wow. And so a conversation started where we can bring this in with junior, senior levels in high school, where all of a sudden, they're when they're thinking about their future work, they are thinking of it with a correct biblical theology instead of what can I do just to make a living. So we think there's a great marketplace for us out there in terms of doing that. We've got a fellow coming in from New Zealand at one of our breakfasts next month, and they do a lot of private enterprise microfinancing for people coming out of poverty. And I said, well, why don't we look at doing something together where you can also be offering them something to where when these people are coming out, they're having a theological perspective, a correct biblical perspective, not just getting out of poverty, but this is what God has in mind for me. So we think there's a lot of opportunities of helping people at the grassroots level of coming out with a heart saying, you know, God made me to work, and this is a part of his divine institution, and this is a privilege to be a part of in terms of God's kingdom building.
BLEonline.org. That's Joe Carroll. You can find Biblical Leadership for Excellence right there. Dream for me, Joe, these groups, these Biblical Leadership for Excellence groups, these BLE groups, what's the point of these groups? I mean, who, first of all, who's the members? Who are they?
We have them ranging from all the way from CEOs to person on production line. Matter of fact, one of the fellows here who's at this summit, he oversees people who work on the front lines of a manufacturing company. And so they have 30 people coming every 2 weeks to a group they meet in their conference room. So and it ranges when they walk in the conference room, they take off their authoritative hats if they're in a leadership role there. Everybody just comes there as a common person. We just had launched 10 women in a group. And of people who have never been in a Bible study before in their life. Some of them have, some of them haven't. And so we're in our second week of that. Actually, have met twice now. And so in that case, we're forging new curriculum because we really don't have anything for that. But if people start talking about the Bible inside the workplace, it changes hearts and it changes lives. So we just try to empower them to do that.
Dream for us then, 2019. Where do you see BLE going?
Well, I think
can we expand it nationwide is what I'm looking for.
Well, people can download our materials, and we're seeing that. And so we're starting to see people download materials more and more, and we've had that available for years. We are working on trying to make our website more interactive, and being a part of functions like this help us because a lot of people don't know who we are. And so our material distribution will help. But primarily we see that I like the comment made today. If we're going to make impact globally, we need to be local. And so as our local impact continues, and we're working hard at collaboration, we have an event later this month, of which you guys are going to be a part of, and we look for collaboration. And we think that together God will build the kingdom. And so to the extent that happens, it will happen. And but we don't have any great plans for that, but we do have a great purpose for that.
So when you see your people coming together and studying the scripture and learning new Maybe they knew the scripture, but they weren't applying it in mm-hmm. their work life and that mm-hmm. work mentality. What kinds of things are you seeing change in people's lives?
Oh, I tell you, that's the thrilling part. Is we had one of our groups is called Forge Groups, and these are for CEOs or heads of companies. And I lead a group. We meet for 4 hours once a month, and we have a fellow who just he went through a study and he got laid off from his work, but he had made a commitment to his career that guy was God's, and so he went through that well, and he has started a new franchise in San Antonio called it's a Kilwins franchise, and they're out of
Michigan,
yeah, yep. And they're the great product of confectionaries and chocolates and fudges, and he grew up eating.
Makes you hungry, thinking.
Yeah, and so he is God opened up a way for him. He's opening up one right across from the Alamo. In downtown San Antonio.
Awesome.
And he says, we are planting a church mm-hmm. here that sells chocolates and allows people to enjoy life. And he was in our study. And one of the things we do is we call an MBA study. Mm-hmm. And in that, people look for meditations, for biblical applications. And he has found ways he can apply principles in the way he's founded this work.
Excellent.
Well, if you'd like to open up a chocolate shop in your town, just talk to Joe Carroll from Biblically.
Church.
That's right. You call it church. I love that.
That's right. Yeah. Chocolate church.
Joe Carroll with BLE Online, Biblical Leadership for Excellence from San Antonio, Texas. Thanks, Joe Carroll.
Good being with you guys.
All right. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back after a couple messages. Check out Joe online, BLEonline.org.
As an apartment management company, are you charging market rent but seeing decreased profit? Turn the trend around by installing individual unit water meters and billing residents for what they consume. Lower property water consumption 20 to 40% and put utility costs back in the bank. Think Utility Services, in business since 1957, has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com.
Reconnect One with Carmen LaBurge.
Our world is identity obsessed. Behind the obsession with being known by our sexual proclivity, our gender, our race, or some other distinctive we perceive as paramount, lies a lie. The lie is this: the self is the exalted one to whom everyone must bow. That lie could not be more diametrically opposed to the Christian worldview. For the Christian, identity begins and ends not with the self, but with another. In Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Everything. That's comprehensive. The Christian bears not the self, but the very identity of Christ into the world. What matters is the Savior, not the self.
Reconnect today's headlines with God's perspective. Visit reconnectwithcarmen.com. ReconnectWithCarmen.com.
Martha and I invite you to join us as an I Work For Him partner. We can change our country through our workplaces, and you can help. Christ followers outside of Tampa Bay and the First Coast desperately need to know that their work matters to God. Help us to take the message of I Work For Him nationwide. Be one of 367 partners to commit to $100 a month for 3 years. Only 2% of Christ followers in America know and understand that their work is a gift from God. Be a gift to the other 98%. Go to IWorkForHim.com, click on the Donate Now button, and set up your recurring gift. And be one of 367.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. As Martha and I continue to be on location in Chicago. That's amazing. In between segments, we haven't run away to some other city.
We are still here.
Chicago, the Windy City, at the Faith and Work Summit, interviewing some incredible people. This segment of the show, we're going to talk to Lisa Slayton. She's with the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation. You know what? We didn't have to drive to Pittsburgh to interview her, which is so much better. We saved some miles. You can check out the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation online, plf.org, plf.org. Lisa Slayton, welcome to I Work For Him.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Talk to us first. How did you come to be a follower of Jesus?
Oh, boy. Well, I grew up in the church, and like many young people, when I went to college and it drifted, my faith drifted quite significantly. In the early 90s, my husband and I were, we'd been married for about 10 years and we're trying to have children, and we figured out through a variety of things, which I won't talk about now, that we were not going to be able to do that biologically. And so through the process of adoption and losing my father in a very tight time period, it was the first step in my journey back to faith. And we became active in a local church in the early 90s. And my son was born in 1994. And that's how it all happened. There's more, a lot more to the story than that. But for our purposes, I'll leave it there.
I appreciate that. You're working with the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation, PFL.org. What's that all about?
So Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation was founded in 1978, and our charter says that we were founded for the purposes of raising up Christ-centered leaders for the redemption of southwestern Pennsylvania in all aspects. That's exact language from our founding board minutes. And over the years, that work has taken a lot of different expressions. Our founder, a man named Reed Carpenter, was a what we would now call a social entrepreneur. He was very good at identifying need in the city and matching resource and leadership to it. And so the early history of PLF was all about incubating faith-based social venture. There were about 60 organizations that we had a hand in starting over that period of time.
60 incubated companies.
Yeah, nonprofits. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Some very small, some very large, and some we ran for many, many years under our umbrella, so we sort of had a fiduciary function. But in the mid-2000s, Reed had gone off. The Leadership Foundations, PLF actually launched a network of Leadership Foundations, so there are about 45 in this country and internationally, and Reed went off to lead the network. And the man who succeeded him had a real passion for the actual development of leaders and said, you know, what if we shift our focus away from the incubation and running of programmatic efforts to really investing in the minds and hearts of leaders.
And how do you do that?
And so we do that in a number of ways. I joined PLF in 2005 to launch an initiative that we've been running now for 11 years called the Leaders Collaborative. It's a six-month intensive cohort-based program, so we keep them small intentionally, 10 to 12 men and women, biased for the business world, but always with nonprofit leaders and pastors included. And it starts with a deep dive into the vocation and calling of the individual, and then what is the implication of that for the work they do every day, and how do we then help them think about going back into their work environment and integrating that to create an organization or a business or a nonprofit or a church that's really healthy and thriving for the common good of the city.
So how does your work at PLF connect you now to the Faith and Work Summit that we're at today?
Well, I've been tracking the faith and work movement for 20 years. It's informed a lot of what I do. Catherine Leary Alsdorf, who was honored today, is, you know, one of my heroes. I felt like I stalked her for several years. I fly to New York and say, what
She's
are you doing now?
She's worthy of being stalked, for
absolutely.
Sure.
But for us, everything was about, one of the pain points for me, so came back to faith in an evangelical church, great worship, wonderful community, but there was a big effort in the church to sort of assimilate people into the ministry of the church. And it was not focused on helping people to think about what they were doing and how they were spending their time, you know, the other 140 hours of the week or whatever. I can't remember what the right number is.
168 hours in a week.
Right. That's so, right. Yeah. So you spend a couple hours in church, you do some things, you know, you're in a small group, you're part of a ministry, but then there's all the rest of the time.
Right.
And the discipleship, it was good discipleship and it was valuable and it helped to form me and my husband and our son, but it wasn't holistic. It wasn't encompassing all of life. My husband's a business guy. I was in the business world for 20 years. And that's where we spend most of our time. So I became very passionate about it and realized that at the time, the church we were a part of, while it was wonderful, there wasn't the interest to invest in this in the way that I really felt like I was called to do. So PLF gave me an avenue to begin to express that. And so we spend a lot of time at the front end of our Leaders Collaborative teaching a theology of work. And I did a master's program that I started in 2008 through Bakke Graduate University.
Awesome. We've highlighted them before.
Yeah. And, you know, very formational in some things. Got to study under a man named Paul Stevens, who you may know, founded the professorship of marketplace theology at Regent College. And, you know, all of that just helped me to build out what I felt called to do in terms of serving others. So how do you help the tech entrepreneur understand that, you know, it's not just that he's good to his people. He has to actually build technology that's good for the world, right? So it's the particulars of work, not just the conditions that work creates.
We're talking today with Lisa Slayton. She's with the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation, PLF.org. You mentioned before we got on the air today, Lisa, that one of the things you teach people to do is to listen.
Yeah.
What is it? Why?
Well.
We're moving on.
Good point.
And there we go. Point taken. Point made.
Good.
Yeah, that was very good. So, how many times do you sit in a conversation with someone? You may be doing it right now, where you're really not listening to what I'm saying. You're thinking about the next thing you're going to say to me.
It happens all the time.
Sure. And I think we live in a world where that's very common and it's useful, right? That I call it transactional in its nature. I've got stuff to do. You've got stuff to do. We're working together on something. It's a get it done kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. It's also a means of control if we're not careful. And I think what happens is we lose the ability to actually sit down without an agenda, without a position we want to compel someone else to pay attention to, and really listen to who they are and what matters to them. And we have some methodologies that we use around that that actually take the listener into the other person's story in a way that they're required to follow the energy and interest of the other person and not their own. Very hard to do, but when you make the shift, it's utterly transformational in how your relationships can flourish.
Wow. So you're using that for what purpose? You're teaching that to the people that come through or that participate in the Pittsburgh Leadership
Foundation? Well, we do it in a couple contexts. One of them are stories around, so we have a story-based methodology, and there's a whole process that we follow, but it's around helping people to dive into. So I might ask you a question around, tell me a time that you did something that you really loved doing, that you got a great and satisfying result from, and that you're very passionate about, and then you start telling your story, and I'm asking a series of a particular kind of question that help me to lean into your story and listen and understand who you are and how you move when you're working at your best. It's actually a process of vocational discernment, but the methodology translates into all kinds of other practices. So, you know, we use it for interviewing, we use it for team development, we use it for partnership development, helping managers and supervisors, you know, work with their people mm-hmm. more effectively. But it's focused on a story, not on a set of bullet points, which is very interesting.
How is being a good listener being a representative of Jesus at work?
Well, I think we're called to compassion and care for others. And one of the most important ways that you can care for another person is to let them know that you see them and hear them. And you can't actually see them and hear them unless you look at them and listen to them, right? Jesus was brilliant at this. In every encounter, think of the woman at the well. In every encounter, he saw that person. He listened deeply to where they were. He spoke truth to them. He wasn't afraid to be bold, but he saw the people that were placed in his path, and they were a requirement for him right then and there. They weren't a means to another end on his journey. He stopped at the well. Why did he stop at the well? Well, he was thirsty, you know. But there's the woman that he needed to encounter that day, and he didn't rush through that encounter just to get to wherever he was going. He believed and saw that she was a person that he was intended to care for and minister to.
Yeah, he actually stayed for 2-3 days. I mean, that was what's amazing. It's like, yeah, I know I was going there, but yeah. We see a recipient audience here that was willing to listen. It was pretty powerful.
Yes.
And he was a great listener. I mean, Jesus was a great listener because he also came back with the greatest questions ever.
That's it.
So if you had just one opportunity to tell people why they should be a proponent of the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation, what is it?
We care deeply about cities, and we believe God does as well. And we live in a time where there's a vacuum of wise moral leadership. And so we care deeply about investing in and developing and growing wise moral leaders who are committed to their place.
Mm. When you say wise moral leaders, do you mean leaders that love Jesus or just wise moral leaders?
Well, I think the wisdom that comes fundamentally comes from Scripture and from Jesus. So to me, it's biblical wisdom. that's at the foundation.
There's so much more. But Lisa Slayton, thank you so much for joining us today. Just to tell us a little bit of what's going on in Pittsburgh. We didn't really get a chance to ask all the great questions, but we're grateful. Thank you, Lisa Slayton.
Thank you.
Make sure you check her out online, plf.org, plf.org. You're listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers, our workplace. It's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600 WZNZ, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Do you know anybody that has said, I will trust you with my immortal soul, but I won't trust you with my perishable material possessions? Have you ever wondered why Jesus warned about the perils of riches, even urging the rich young ruler to dispose of his wealth because it had become his God? Of course, as believers, we recognize that this man was not lost or saved in proportion to his poverty or wealth. He is saved in spite of them. At the same time, we should recognize that a person of great means has a greater responsibility in that his coming to Christ also includes his wealth.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.